on today's Living in Las Vegas. You know, it seems to me that a larger percentage than normal of the people who move here do so to start their own business. So on today's show, Brett and I are going to give you our top tips to be a successful entrepreneur here in Las Vegas. Plus, we've got real quick stories, which never are, live chat questions, listener email, and of course, have a drink on me. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast where if you've got $19.99, we can make you a millionaire. Let's get started. Living in Las Vegas starts now. Yes, it does.
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host,
yes,
a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was,
singer brother Scott,
Mr. Scott Whitney.
Is that singing or is that just...
It's called scat singing, but now we've got a new scat singer. Go!
That's not me.
Whoops, sorry. Go! Oh, man. What is happening? You bring these people in. He wants to be an intern. I saw the resume. It's very, very impressive, by the way. Nicely done. I especially like the Times Roman font. It's a very nice font. So I bring him in.
I prefer Arial Black.
For the very first time, I'm going to bring somebody in. I don't even know who the cat is. He's like, I just really want to be an intern, man. I think you're pretty special. I'm like, well, fuck, you're pretty cool, too. Boom. I put him on there. Go. Let's try him again. Here it is. And go. Oh,
I got
man.
Nothing. Okay, I got
well,
nothing.
Well, everybody, welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney.
You're not humble.
Konnichiwa. Buenas noches. And how you doing, hot stuff? I'm super happy to be here, but not as happy as RQS. Not as happy as Drinky Pants.
I am happy.
Not as happy as Brett Grant, everybody.
Hello again, everybody. How are you? Happy All-Star break. We've been kind of watching the All-Star game as we prepare for the show. It's good to be here. I'm wearing my Cardinal jersey.
Go team.
Go Cardinals.
How the Cardinals
and actually,
doing?
New intern's Cardinal fan, too, down there in Cardinal country, so we've got something in common.
What? No, and, I don't even recognize we have an intern given his last performance. I thought that wasn't very
well. Well, yeah, see, it's his first time.
He's nervous.
He's been 30 seconds, for crying out loud.
He's
give
nervous.
The kid a break.
Okay, fair enough. You know, all right.
So, go back to your 21 years old. Go back to your very first time.
Wow.
They opened the microphone and showed you, and you went, holy crap, really? I have to speak now?
When I was 21, when I was 21,
in the year 21,
in the year 25.
You're a test tube.
I wasn't very bright back then. Okay, so over under 82 and a hook.
82 and a half. All right.
82 and a hook. I think we're going to.
That's an hour 22 and a half.
I think we'll probably be close.
We'll be close. Yeah.
Because we don't really have much to say this time. We do have special guests here under the Real Quick Stories. Many of you have heard me talk about Effingham. Of course, Brett has talked about Effingham. When I first heard about Effingham, I thought, well, it's past the Effingham, past the effing turkey. And by the way, that was a big hit. Because the first time I went there was for Thanksgiving. I had met Melissa in August of 2000, and I went there for Thanksgiving. We were dating. And I remember to this day, I was asking my dad, I'm like, hey, so, you know, Melissa's got brothers and they're like, you know, hunters and stuff. And he said, okay, just one tip. I'm like, well, come on. If they invite you to go hunting, simply decline. I said, well, why? Because we're going to fucking kill you. Like, fair enough. So I went there and, you know, did the Effingham joke and the effing turkey joke. Killed that room. And then, surprisingly, one of the brothers, I won't name him, invited me to go hunting. I declined.
I think I'll pass. Maybe next time.
Oh, my God.
Maybe next time.
Heart palpitations. I'm like, what? What's this chest pain problem?
Have you seen the new movie, Ted 2?
No. Have you seen it?
Yeah. I mean, it's stupid, just like the first Ted. Right. But there's some great lines. And there's a line they're talking about history, and they're talking about the author F. Scott Fitzgerald, right? And Ted goes, what Scott Fitzgerald ever do to you? And she's like, what are you talking about? You just said F. Scott Fitzgerald. She goes, you're a moron.
Anyway, so Melissa's brother Darren is here, and his kids are in here. We're going to be doing the tour, and I did embarrass the future broadcaster. There he is right now. Look at this, man. This guy
is excited. You can really see it on his face. He is excited.
I'm going to tell you what this. That hair, man, I wish I had
that. Well, I think he's ready to take the... I mean, there's a guitar behind him.
Hair.
He's ready to take stage.
God, I want
that. Either
that
or he's going to pick up the amp and carry it off the stage. He's either the guitar player or the roadie. I haven't figured out which one he is yet.
I used to have that hair, man. Yeah. I really did. I used to have that hair. It was so pretty. It was so gorgeous. Anyways, so we're going to take him to... Have we told you what we're going to do with you?
He speaks.
Never mind.
Well, you're 21 in Vegas.
But he's 21.
I remember I was here for my 21st birthday.
Were you?
I was.
I
played craps, and my dad said, he goes, you want to learn how to play craps? Sure. He goes, put $100 on the table. It was gone about 4 minutes later. He goes, now you know how to play craps.
That's how you play craps.
And then we went to go see, what was the Jubilee? What was the boob show at Tropicana? Topless show at the Trop.
The one with the butts.
No, that's the Riviera. That was wasn't Jubilee, but
Jubilee.
It was... Jubilee was Bally's. What was the topless show for years that was at the Tropicana?
Follies.
Follies Brigier.
That's right.
I was so
bored.
Drunk.
Oh.
But I'm going to the show with my brother, my mom, and dad. My mom says to me, you know, son, you've seen one, you've seen them both. And then I promptly fell asleep.
Have you heard the Ron White joke? He goes, when you've seen one, you want to see them all. those don't look like very attractive breasts.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter. I want to look at them.
Right. So I probably slept the entire show.
So Braden is 21, right? And you want to go gambling, is that right?
Of course.
Okay, and what kind of game do you play? Are you a blackjack guy? What are you doing?
Anyway, I can throw away money.
Excellent. Well, we welcome
you. We've got
to
a town that lets you throw away money.
Have we got a town for you? So, we're probably going to take you down towards Fremont Street for that, because if you're okay to play $5 a card or $5 a hand, then we'll go down to the Strip.
That's a good idea.
But we'll go down to Fremont Street where it's a little bit less expensive than that.
You're doing that tonight after the show?
No. Oh, okay. I'm here until fucking 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, not anymore because you're not taking out the stuff.
No, I'm still here. I do that on Friday.
Oh.
I used to do that on Friday.
Okay.
But I've got a really good thing for you guys we're going to be doing with your dad on Friday. It's going to be awesome.
Cool.
And then, but I can't take it to Sapphire's.
You can, just don't tell.
I can't.
Aunt.
Well, I don't
Aunt
trust.
Melissa.
I can't trust these people. I don't know if they're.
My mouth's shut. You told me to be quiet.
Now he's talking. Now he's talking all of a sudden. Okay.
Take him for lunch.
Now, you, God bless your little heart.
What'd I do?
Well, you've opened your heart.
I did.
You've said
I've made my wife angry at me.
Oh, did you do this without any?
No, she was there.
Oh, I did want to show this. This is these are the in-laws.
Oh, there you go.
There's a is that a Arches at Whitney Villa visor and?
He looks like he's ready to deal some outdoor blackjack at the pool at the Wynn.
Doesn't he?
He's like the old accountant. He just needs the old push button calculator, the big giant one and the handle that went down.
Like
the old bookie.
I miss being thin like that. Fuck. All right. So, anyways, you've given your heart. You've said the wife didn't know.
Oh, she was there.
Also,
I had to take her in. I had to take this. This took about a year to talk her into this.
Really?
We've been married for 20, going on 22.
Right.
We had a dog. When we first got married, we went to the pet store at the time. This is back in 1992, 93, before everybody went to, adoption places and things like that.
Right.
And her intention was to bring home a cat.
Oh.
We brought home a Cocker Spaniel. I say we are not bringing home a cat.
Yeah,
so I'm not a cat guy at all.
Right.
So we had a dog, and we had that dog till the kids were maybe, 3 or 4. And then... he was gone. So we've gone probably 15 years without a dog.
Right.
And I've always liked dogs.
Yeah.
But there's a few reasons why I've wanted to have a dog. I mean, the number one reason is all my kids will be gone next year off to college and stuff, and the house will be empty.
Yep.
And it gives us something to, not that we're free, but it gives us something to keep track of.
Right, sure.
did you feed the dog? Did you pick up that kind of stuff? So
wives do that to make sure that you're still responsible.
Right. So...
So
we got a new pooch.
Let's introduce.
This is Shammy.
Now,
there's a reason why we call her Shammy. That's S H A M M I E. My when I coached my son's baseball team, we had a club team called the Shamrocks. So the kids have always had an affinity for that name. And when I got sick 5.5 years ago, Shamrocks have kind of been a part of stuff in my family, even though I don't have any Irish blood in me. I'm Italian and mutt and everything else. But so we figured we'll call her Shammy or Rocky. And we kind of like Shammy. So that's her. The one on the left was at the house. The one on the right was when we first brought her home in the car. She loves the car.
Oh, she likes
loves the car.
Most dogs do. Our dogs
loves it.
Hate the car. They're freaking out and shaking the whole time.
Right.
I think we're the only dogs that do that.
Yeah, and then the middle picture, if you want to put up real quick, that was this morning. I took her up to the duck pond near where we lived, or the goose pond. And she goes, "What the hell are those things?"
Those things.
I want nothing to do with those things.
I think what's fascinating is if you look at the bottom of that picture in the middle, there's a feather implying she's already eaten a duck.
She already had lunch. That was her toothpick.
Right. Those are called lunch. Those are floating lunch. I'll take one now, and I'll just let the other ones float around until
I think she likes water, because in the backyard, we've got a pool in the backyard. She immediately went to the water and tried to drink it, and like she was going to jump in. I go, okay, that's good. And now I can't get her anywhere near it again. And I got to get the kids to kind of get in the pool.
Do you have a wet deck?
Yeah, I got a couple of steps.
Okay.
A big beach step and a small and a shorter step, too.
We did that specifically for our dogs, which, of course, hate water.
Hate the water.
They're like,
So she's doing all right. Last night, she made it through the night without doing any damage. And it's hard. It's hard. She's a puppy. She's 11 weeks old. Took her to the vet. Vet said she looks good. And
where did you find this dog?
Believe it or not, I found it on Craigslist. And there's a couple of reasons why. We're looking specifically for a German Shepherd, because that's the one breed my wife goes, I like that dog, because friends of ours have a German Shepherd, and actually about 11 or 12 years old, and he had just bought a second puppy. It's about the same age, and he 2 weeks ago, and he goes, hey, I got this dog. And we were talking about trying to do it together, because there's a lady that had a litter, and I wasn't ready at the time, because we were traveling, it wasn't working out. And we just started looking for the last week and a half or so. And, the one thing about Craigslist is you can see the pictures of them, but, who knows?
Right.
The health of the dog, the shape of the dog, all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
So, and we took, the guy who we bought her from, he said, look, we got an 11-year-old daughter. She's not ready for this kind of responsibility. It's a lot of work. We didn't know what we were getting into, and that's pretty much it.
Let me tell you why I love the live chat.
I think she spent a lot of time in the cage. So now she's hanging out with us. I think, that's my guess.
Oh, really? I said that our dogs hate the water, and this is a perfect example of why the live chat is awesome. Danny, who pretty much does anything, says, oh, by the way, Scott, I can fix that. Did I mention my side talent is dog training? Okay.
Who is that?
Danny. Oh, so Danny. She does six figures on eBay, but while she's not doing that, I'll train a dog.
All right.
That's a skill set that I don't have.
I got a trainer coming over on Thursday for a consultation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, the funny thing was I took her to the vet yesterday for the first time. She had her first series of shots, so she got her second set yesterday. And as I'm walking out, and she weighed 15 pounds yesterday. The nurses, or the ladies in front of the receptionist, they go, "We'll see you in 3 weeks for your last set of shots, and she'll be twice as big." I go, "In three weeks?" She goes, "Oh yeah, she'll be at least 30 pounds in 3 weeks."
That's crazy.
And German Shepherd, she's going to be 75 to 90 pounds or so.
Wow.
That's
a big dog, man.
Yeah.
That's a big dog. All right, next up. One of the first properties in Fremont East to actually say, we're gonna make this happen. This is long before downtown Las Vegas, so before Shea got in there and did his whatever he does.
Right.
And it was a place called Insert Coins. And, the premise of this bar was they had old school arcade games plus the new stuff like Xbox and whatever.
Right, right.
And when it first came in, it was the hottest thing around, man. It was pretty cool. And then TikTok, a couple of years later, evicted. Gone. Bummer, man. Bummer. And so they asked the guy, what happened? They tried to evict him back in March. It took until June for it to happen. I guess eviction has to be approved by the court.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, it's justice court, so it's different. We do have different courts. We have the municipal court,
right,
and the justice court. So when you get a ticket, depending on if you're going to municipal court or justice court, there's different places.
So the guy Laporte, who runs the place, says due to a rapidly changing DTLV downtown Las Vegas business environment, Insert Coins will be temporarily closing its doors.
Okay.
And so the question is, what's the rapidly changing environment? And he didn't say, and a lot of people speculate. What I would say is this. You know, the downtown project thing is pretty neat, except for the fact that a lot of what they've put down there are restaurants and bars. Well, you could argue that Las Vegas is pretty good at restaurant and bars.
Sure,
I mean, we've done
yes,
a lot of those.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've done some of the best ever.
No
As
doubt.
A matter of fact, when it comes to nightclubs, we have the top eight of the top 10 in the whole fucking world.
No doubt, no doubt.
So we can do bars, we can do restaurants. And if you look at downtown Las Vegas, what you see is a lot of bars and restaurants. And so what was once one is now, I don't know, 10, 15 bars. I don't know how many are down there.
Right, right.
But my guess when they're talking about the rapidly changing business environment, I think that's probably competition. And they also started to do some pretty dumb things like charging a cover charge to go into a bar.
Unless now, you got a band, why would you be
charging
a cover
charge?
Well,
and they had
a DJ.
Oh, man.
Good Lord.
I think that's a little short-sighted. But so, I don't know if they're coming back. Nobody knows if they're coming back. It's a shame that nobody wants to see a business close. It sucks. But, I know.
Cover charges when I'm 21, different.
Well,
because that was the place to be.
Well, it depends.
When you're 45 or 50, you're going, go fuck yourself.
Well, yeah,
go somewhere else.
And I don't know it would be actually interesting to know what the demographic of that place was, because a lot of it, you know, played to you and me.
Right.
Because they had Centipede. Melissa loved that place. She hates downtown, but she thought that was kind of quaint because I had Centipede, and she likes Centipede.
So she could play Asteroids and Mrs. Pac.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So that was pretty cool, and I can get a drink while doing that. And they had like a little, you know,
kick her butt in Donkey Kong.
Can you?
Oh yeah.
Well, she's all about the Centipede.
Centipede. I probably could not beat her in Centipede.
Yeah. Hedgehog.
Yeah.
I'll do.
You got Hedgehog.
I'll
play
a little Hedgehog.
Take care.
Yeah, I'll do a little
Donkey Kong and Asteroids and Galaga. Those are my kids.
I'm a Call of Duty guy.
You're more modern now. See, now as the gaming has changed, I'm all about the sports games. I don't get into the other games as much. I mean, that's kind of what my kids do. So they're all about now they're all about the FIFA soccer game.
Love that. It's a FIFA soccer game.
Plus the fact that you play people, you know, across the world.
Yeah.
Say I'm playing some guy from China today.
But that's part of the fun.
Yeah,
of
that's kind of fun. Yeah.
That's fun. The Call of Duty, you know, because it was the first really successful online live game.
Yeah.
And so you get to beat the crap out of some 14-year-old.
Right.
Or
as opposed
some
to saying,
beating the crap
Melissa,
out of you.
You want to play? No.
Melissa doesn't like it because people are dying. And I like it because
people are
dying. Like, oh, you little shit. Blam! This
Call
is the biggest
of
fun
Duty,
ever.
As Danny calls it. Call of Duty.
I love
All
it.
Right.
Also, in the downtown thing, there's a thing, you know, NPR's. The local NPR is pretty good here, and they did an interview with a guy who wrote a scathing article about Downtown Project.
Right.
And they did this interview. I strongly recommend you go to NPR and look this up, because it was such an interesting interview.
I read it.
And did you read it?
I did. Oh, yes.
It was
right.
Fascinating. Fascinating article. Fascinating interview.
Well, we kind of predicted this stuff about a month and a half ago when we talked about it, didn't
we? Well, I predicted it about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the thing that the highlight of the interview that I always said, well, I don't know, I didn't say it this articulately, but this is what got me, is it always felt fake to me. It always felt like, you know, from a business perspective, I see some of the people who you're funding and they don't have a business model. They can't make money. You know, you're doing this because you're a drinking buddy or because it's their dream and I'm going to fund your dream.
Right.
You know, a kumbaya, we'll hold hands and we'll, you know, do whatever you want to do. But that's not how you run a business. But here's
the thing. Or get a business. But that's part of the, hey, I want to have a business. I'm entitled today. And here's some guy who's giving me money so I can do my business without me having to bust my ass to be able to save up my own money to be able to build my dream from, you know, how many successful business people started in a garage.
Oh, yeah. Me.
I think we're doing it, right? We're in a garage. Or what we used to be a garage.
Now
a fabulous studio.
It's a fabulous garage.
Right? I mean,
this
is a perfect example.
But that's it. And we're going to talk more in detail about the concept of being an entrepreneur. But there was a great quote. And the quote was by this guy, Carr. This was by the guy who's the president of downtown Las Vegas. And what he said was, but whenever you start a venture like this, you need to start to create excitement and buzz. He's referring to the things that Tony Hsieh said.
Right.
You know, these grand, beautiful, we're going to be doing this. It's going to be utopia, basically. We're going to be building things in 3 years. That are going to be, you know, it's going to be the thing that all people look at.
Right.
But whenever you start a venture like this, you need to start to create excitement and buzz. And I guess you need to take it with a pinch of salt. The really, really big, audacious goals that people made. And the guy who did the article is like, what in the fuck are you talking about? People moved because of this audacious thing. They moved their lives. The people killed themselves because of what's happened down there. Mm-hmm. Three suicides in downtown Las Vegas, all of them associated with that area down there. I don't know if that's normal for the number of people who work there, but that seems high to me. And a lot of it had to do with, I believe, wow, I'm part of the group, and now I'm not part of the group. I think I have the dream, and now the dream's been taken away from me.
Right.
You know, I believe this guy because he runs Zappos, and now the dream is bullshit. Brutal. Just brutal. And that's,
I guess, if you got funded, do they still have access to your money or something? That they can take it away, or how did that work?
Well, yeah, they can absolutely. It was completely arbitrary. So,
but if you had your money,
well, so they don't give you $1 million at once.
It's sitting somewhere. Fuck. No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they do this. Okay, hey Brett, what's your idea? Well, my idea is to sell those birds.
Right.
Fuck, that's a beautiful idea. I think I'm into that. There you go. Birds happening already. I think it's going to sell. So, what we're going to do is we're going to give you, let's say, $250,000. I get 50% of your business. That's the deal.
Right.
You know, we'll cover it and let's go. Now, I don't give you I don't give you that money right away. I give it to you every month. A little bit of this. You know, what's your run rate? What's your, you know,
right.
So, but does that mean that they have to do that? No. There was a huge article on Forbes where they're talking about a manufacturing company. It was run by a woman. It's a big deal. And they interviewed her, and she's like, yeah, this is kind of big. You know, Tony's behind me, and this is all great. They came back to do a follow-up, and they were gone. And she's like, I didn't even know it was going to happen.
Right.
Because one day I walked in, and they said, we're not going to do it anymore. Wait a minute. This was going to be the big thing. Yeah, now it doesn't make sense anymore. Right. You know, they started off with community as an important part, and then everybody thought, well, it feels like a charity. You should give me this. And they're like, we're taking that out.
Well, then the whole holocracy thing as well.
And which I haven't even gotten it. Well, that's the other thing. So, and they talked about in this article, holocracy. So basically, nobody's in charge, but actually, only one person's in charge. That's really what holocracy is, a single person in charge, like in China. And so people are like,
North Korea.
Yeah, I signed up to a regular company that had a fucking manager, and all of a sudden you're saying, I've got nothing, but I can't go. You know, and so, like, you know, this guy's like, well, you know, no one is forced to stay. Yeah, I'm not forced to stay. You're not forced to stay. But if you're a 22-year-old who just started at you know, fucking.
Well, you know, you just signed a year lease on your condo or your apartment, or whatever,
And a lot of these people are young. So you're an early 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, Malia's asking, what is a holocracy? A holocracy basically. Like Scott was saying, nobody's really in charge. Nobody has job duties. Nobody has supervisors. Nobody has necessarily assignments. They're all kind of working on their own, doing what they want to do.
Yeah, the idea behind it, I believe, is they create these organic circles of energy, and these circles make things happen. The problem is there is no reporting structure, so no one's in charge, and so it can. I don't think it has a very
There's no accountability. Yeah. It's kind of like being in Washington.
I'm trying to think if there's been a successful.
It's kind of like getting elected.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's a successful holocracy, and I can't think of one. I'm sure there is one.
I never heard of one until this guy.
Yeah.
So,
but you're a 20-year-old, and you're like, I'm at Zappos. I'm living pretty good. It's a pretty sexy company. And, you know,
offense to our intern back there, but when you're 21, 22, you don't know anything. You don't know anything.
You don't know shit. Right. And so the last thing you want to do is go, wait a minute, you have to decide to, you know, be a man and get out, or you got to pay your rent. Well, fuck, I'm trapped.
Right.
And so all these people are trapped. So that's been kind of the thing that's, you know, the adults in the room, the adults in the city are like, man, it just doesn't smell right. And that's what I wrote on Facebook when I talked about this. I was like, this never really smelled right to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything against these people. I don't do business with them. I don't even care. But God, it just felt, you walk in there, you walk into Golden Gate, which has turned into this like a little hip club. And you're like, you know, it just feels a little Jonestown-like. Where's the Kool-Aid? You know what I mean?
Where's Mr. Jones?
I'll have the Kool-Aid. The raspberry's good for me. Do you want to drink it all? Just a sip will do.
Exactly.
That's all I really need before my heart stops.
I'm very sleepy.
So it's just it's just kind of a bummer deal. And then finally, well, you guys had your chance. The visors, we've just made the visors available for sale, the Vegas Video Network visors. And guess what? We have sold out. So if you want them, I've just ordered another batch. And because I am susceptible to browbeating, I have not ordered just black, like my heart, but I have ordered a red one.
Atta boy.
and some really kind of nice tan ones.
Tan.
Yeah.
Like your khakis. Like, I'm a khaki. I specifically asked for green, but I do want to see what the red one looks like.
They didn't have green.
They did not?
I thought
it looked like kind of like the Masters logo.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's okay. I just want to see it a different color. I think it'll look sharp in all of them.
So if you want one, go to the Vegas Video Network website. The most recent news article talks about them, and you see all of our sexy people who've got them. And there's a click on a link, and then you can go ahead and order those. And they're only $17.95, which basically covers my cost and shipping.
You're not making any money.
I'm making any money.
That's the number one rule of how to not be an entrepreneur.
Right. Don't
sell things for no profit.
I'm doing this just to give it to my people.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give it to my people.
I thought you were charging $20 last week.
I was, and I decided to bring it down because I thought, because the guy asked me.
Then you do Walmart pricing, $19.95.
Here's why I came up with $20. I'm like, the guy said, can I buy it? I'm like, well, fuck, I don't know, $20. So I just wrote the email. I'm like, well, I have $20. So I thought, I started getting a couple emails. I'm like, all right, I got to look into what this cost is. So I don't want to be ripping these people off.
Of course you do.
So I looked at my cost.
Donald Trump?
I make a pretty good living. I'm not going to make a living selling fucking visors. So
you never know. It'd be a nice little niche for you.
Suddenly,
it'll raise up to 5% of your business or
and
something.
And you're right. Sammy's right. I had to pay tax for people, or I had to take tax for people in Nevada who ordered. So there you go. Here you go, Danny. See if you can figure out how to sell, a couple thousand Vegas Video Network visors on the eBay or even the Amazon. Either one would be fine with me. So, but anyways, if you want to order,
be the hottest thing.
Please. Yeah, so it is. I did the order. I looked at the numbers. I'm like, I don't have to charge them $20. I can charge them $17, and I'm still, okay. I'm still whole. And people are wearing the logos, and that feels pretty good.
There's no reason why you can't make a couple bucks.
And I've got the Gathering of Gods. Is that what I called it? I don't know what they're called, but that's what I've got. And, life's pretty good, so... Quit yelling at me. I'm not having it.
That music means it's time for...
No, Delts.
Main topic.
Main topic. It's time for the main topic. All right. It seems to me, wow. I'm not sure if this is completely true or not, but it seems to me that there's a high percentage of people who live here in the Las Vegas who are entrepreneurs. Who are doing their own thing. Now, I used to live in the Bay Area, and I was an entrepreneur there, but I didn't really bump into a lot of me's. I worked with a lot of bigger companies. But here, especially in my job, and especially in your job, we run into almost nothing but entrepreneur people, solopreneurs, people who are kind of doing their own thing. And during this process, I've seen a lot of people come and talk to me who just didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Right.
And you could smell it on them a mile away. And I thought, we should talk about, both of us have been relatively successful in what we're doing. We should talk about what we think are the things that are important that made us successful or that makes other people successful. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What are the things that you can do here in Las Vegas, and quite frankly, you can do this anywhere, that helps move your story forward, makes you more likely to be a successful entrepreneur in Las Vegas? We're going to begin with my good friend, Brett Grant.
Brett? Well, that's me. You said good friend. I had to look behind me for a second.
I
came up with five, and I realized there could be 500, first of all, because it really can be. And I think the biggest thing about being an owner, operator, an entrepreneur, basically is you're the owner, but you're also, you might be the only employee.
Yep.
Like Scott is in his place. He did have a guy working for him for a while.
Right.
My staff is a lot smaller today than it was previously at the radio station, just because it's a little different competitive environment. And you have to, not that I've reduced the size of my staff, I just haven't replaced people who have left.
Right.
So that way, as opposed to firing people and doing that kind of thing. But the biggest thing to me, number one, is capital. You have to come into your business with a plan and with the capital to be able to operate and execute your plan. You cannot come in underfunded.
Right.
You have to anticipate having enough money to survive, because you're not going to make any money for 6 months to a year before you turn a profit.
Maybe.
Well,
I don't disagree.
Depending on your expenses, depending on what you're doing.
Well, that's it. I think, the question is funding.
Right.
Do you have enough money to run the company? So, I'm a big believer in bootstrap companies. All my companies are bootstrap companies, which means I funded my own company. I didn't go for outside investment. I didn't get any A this or angel this or VC stuff. I did none of it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that if what I could do made sense that I was risking my money first. Two reasons. I didn't want to put anybody else's money at risk. Right. But second all, if it works, then I want all the fucking money if I win.
Sure.
So it's it was
but that's
it
the
was,
gamble.
That's and that was
and
a
if you want the
gamble.
Security,
that's right.
You have you add partners.
Right.
You know. Well, I mean, I started. Both. You know, the radio station. I have multiple partners. Right. And I was the last guy into that.
Right.
So I was invited into the partnership.
And you had to then fund it. You had to.
Pay I had to come with.
That.
Yeah, I had to bring money to the party.
Right. Right.
More than the other guys did because we
were late.
We were make. I was late. Exactly.
Right.
When I started the Walking Gourmet. It was my wife who came up with the idea. I kind of came up with the business plan, but I didn't want to take all the risk.
Right.
So what I did was I went out and got two partners, primary partners.
Yep.
One who could work the business and another who could do all the legal and all that part of it for us. And then also have be an investor into yep. the company as well. And then I saved. What I did was I kept 20% of the business back
yep.
and I sold that to other investors to help fund the business and gave them a point or two. Into it.
And the type of business depends on the kind of funding you have to have. Right. Everything that I've done, I've been able to self-fund, right? If I'm trying to build a software company, mm-hmm. a big one, well, I can't do that. I need 10 engineers. Well, I can't self-fund that.
Right.
But, you know, for everything that I've done, I've been able to self-fund and then become profitable enough where I, sometimes I had people right. and I didn't and whatever, but I've, you know, I've lived a reasonably well,
let's,
good life.
You know, I've been involved in two startup radio stations. So in 1993, we started a radio station and literally was not on the air. It was a dark station. It was January in Chicago. We came on the air. We had three employees.
Right.
It was the general manager, me, and a secretary.
Right.
And we went out and had to sell advertising on a station that did not exist.
Right.
And we
Which
just,
is hard.
The two of us just said 8 o'clock every morning, we're busting our butts until 5 o'clock every afternoon. And right. then we're going to do it again the next day.
That's it.
And we sold about $350,000 worth of advertising before we ever went on the air.
Awesome.
Which was in March. So we gave ourselves 8 weeks. We went on the air in that time, and we started the radio shopping show.
Oh, yeah.
And we turned a profit a month later.
Yeah, yeah.
So four months, we turned a profit.
I love that.
In Vegas, same two guys and a secretary. We did it a little bit differently in that we started the show immediately and garnered merchandise as we went along, as opposed to a
well, because you're
a
able
big
to fund
splash.
It from the Chicago thing helped you fund the
yeah,
one
but it was
here,
different,
right?
Completely different business.
Oh, was it?
Completely different partners. I mean, I was just an employee, but I was the guy. You know, I was kind of the grunt worker.
Oh,
I was
that's
getting,
right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I was getting paid. I wasn't my money, so that's I was right. getting. I was the guy getting paid. Okay. So I was their expense and the secretary,
right.
and then the rent and the lights and
right.
all that kind
Equipment.
Of stuff. It took a couple of months longer to turn a profit here
right.
than it did back in Chicago because we just did it a little differently and that's kind of the way it was. But you know the next one I wanted to, would say is, and this is where people think they know everything about everything because you might be a great chef or you're a mechanic. I'm going to use a chef as an example. Let's say you, Scott Whitney, are a wonderful chef and you're going to open a restaurant. What do you know about the front of the house?
Nothing.
You know how to run the back of the house.
Right.
If you bring out great food and the waitress or the wait staff sucks and the drinks suck and the customer service sucks,
right.
you're out of business.
Well,
even
if
though
I know
the
how
food
to cook,
is fantastic.
Well, even I know how to cook doesn't mean I know how to run the back of a house.
Right, right. And if you're somebody who can run the front of the house,
right.
what do you know about the back of the house in hiring a chef or the quality of the food and all the things that go into that? So you need to hire the right people.
Right.
You need to bring in the experts.
Right.
Obviously, you want to do it as cheaply as you possibly can.
Yep.
But I'm sure when you went out and started your stuff, you're consulting with people about what you need, what you want, making decisions
yep.
based on knowledge as opposed to, I'm just going to take this, I'm just going to get this, I'm just going to get that, whatever. I mean, when you're starting a radio station, the number one thing for us is, okay, it's a radio station.
Right.
I need an engineer. I need the best engineer in town who could keep us on the air
right.
when a storm happens,
right.
when something bad happens to the transmitter site, because
right.
I don't know how to fix a transmitter.
Right.
I know how to turn on a microphone and start talking,
right.
but if they say, hey, Brett, you got to show you the tube blew out. You got what?
The fallopian tube.
Exactly.
The fallopian tube again? Yeah. Son of a bitch.
I blew out another one.
Another fallopian
tube. You need to climb up on the tower. Hey, oh no.
I like her. She's a lovely girl.
Exactly. We dated for a while, yes. So, I mean, I look at mechanics. Oh, you know, I've never had to advertise. And my standard response, because I'm in radio advertising, would say back to them is, I'll advertise you're going out of business sale. Because you say to the man who's selling cars that I don't need to advertise, but yet he's wearing advertised shoes, an advertised suit, an advertised tie, an advertised pen he's writing the contract with, and he's driving around in his car in advertised tires, advertised windshield wipers, but he doesn't want to advertise his business.
Right.
Okay? And he goes home and he sleeps in his advertised mattress and brushes his teeth with his advertised toothpaste.
I get it.
All that stuff. And they're going to tell me they don't have to advertise.
I'm with you.
Okay. Well, let me know when that's going on.
So hire people who know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, consult experts. That's the second
one. Oh, yeah. Consult experts.
Yeah. Sure. The third one is imitation works, meaning steal ideas that work from your competitors. Who created the dollar menu? I have no freaking idea, but everybody has one now. McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, whoever. It was a great idea. It works. So do you have any idea who created it?
No. It's an interesting one. It used to be, and this is interesting. This, I don't disagree with that. But if you would have asked me this 20 years ago, everybody would disagree. And there's a book called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing.
Right.
And it's the marketing Bible for anybody who's in marketing. And, mm-hmm. and I used to be a marketing guy, you know, at Compaq Computer and all that kind of stuff. And one of the 22 Immutable Laws, and I think it's one of the first two or three, which is it's better to be first than to be best. In other words, first to market almost always wins. Actually, their argument was it always won. So Hertz was first to market in rental cars, and they are number one. Are they the best? It doesn't really matter because they're number one. That has since changed. It's no longer the case that you can be first
to
market.
Is AOL the best online place to, you know?
And that's right? kind of an example. Yeah. A more contemporary one would be smartwatches. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of smartwatches to come out long before the Apple Watch came out. None of them took off. There's a variety of technical reasons and just content reasons, but they didn't garner the interest. The Apple Watch came out, and I'm not an Apple fan. I'm an opposite Apple fan, but you know everybody kind of likes that watch, and they're selling pretty well, and I bet you they're going to do pretty well. So it's no longer the case. So exactly, you're basically saying, look, if there's something to go.
Well, I think, and the live chat brought up a good point. I mean, you take the idea and you enhance it, you make it better. You don't completely copy it. But I mean, I'll give you an example. The radio shopping show in Las Vegas, first of all, we've been doing it for 30 years. We invented it. If you look at, Home Shopping Network, that's basically the Home Shopping Network would hold up this and say, I've got 40,000 of these right now. Please call right now.
Right.
Dial this number. You can't touch it. You can't feel it.
Right.
The shopping show concept was about local merchants providing low services to locals.
Right.
So a dining certificate over here, I'm going to Jim's True Value Hardware Store, I'm going to Laura's Floral Shop, and I'm getting a bouquet from a local business and I'm saving money.
Right.
And now just look in Las Vegas. Forget about Groupon and Living Social and those. Every other radio station's got some kind of daily deal. The television stations all have daily deals.
Yeah.
The newspaper, daily deals. They're all over the place. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah, right.
That's what we've done. The difference is we're the only ones that are on the radio
doing
the show as a format. And that's the difference.
Right.
We're
on
the air talking about the places to go versus call right now. We've got these gift certificates available for $25. And that's your mention. And you're going, oh, thanks a lot.
Right.
As opposed to, gosh, I went there for dinner on Tuesday night. Man, it was fantastic. My wife had a lobster thermidor. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
That's the magic of the shopping show.
I love that.
So to me, imitation, I think, is important. The next one is, and this is from when you're hiring and firing people, when you're looking to hire somebody, usually you're in an immediate need. You need somebody to fill this position. I need somebody now.
Yep.
And that's the wrong attitude to have.
Yeah.
It should be the opposite. Be slow to hire and quick to fire.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Don't dick around with people that you know aren't going to work.
Yep.
Just cut them loose. If it takes a week and go, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
You know? And it's probably been my biggest fallacy at the radio station is because you try to be a nice guy and help people along too much and treat them like adults and hope they're going to get it. And you just know it's just never going to happen.
Yep.
As opposed to taking your time vetting people along the way.
Yep.
The problem in Las Vegas for me, quite frankly, is there's not a big candidate pool.
Right, right.
There are so many people that are flawed in one way or another, and you're going, do I want to have the all rehab staff? Not him necessarily. I did not know you were on screen. Sorry, sorry, Braden. but at the same time, like I interviewed a guy today, and I really liked him. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to offer him a job. But as I closed the interview, I said, you know what? Go home and talk to your wife. Let me know if this is something you think you want to do. I'm still okay. And we will talk again tomorrow or the next day.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. In the meantime, I'm going to talk to somebody else and see if I like that person better. And the last one is, as an owner-operator, having your own daily duties. And I have a staff. You don't have a staff. So everything gets done by you, gets done by Scott.
Are you telling me that I don't have a staff?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, obviously, for you, you got to be able to. But there's probably 5 to 10 things that you have to do every day, no matter what.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I'm a busy fucker.
Right. And there's just, in order for your business to operate, there's certain things you have to do. Okay, it's Tuesday. I have to go to the bank. I mean, it's a mundane task, but you know you have to go do this.
It's Tuesday. I have to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Because Brett's doing the show. For the show, which is good. So, I mean, taking care of it, what I'm saying is, for me, my daily duties are projections, having the plan, the monthly plan, the quarterly plan, the yearly plan. Are we on target? Are we projecting properly? Where are we falling short?
Yep.
What merchandise is falling back in stock that I can move, lower prices? Those kind of stuff I'm thinking about, and I usually write some of this stuff down. And I usually, what I normally do is I'll have a list of about, and I'll number them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. These are the things I have to accomplish.
I do that
today.
Every day.
And I think it's very important to keep your eye on the ball of what you're doing. I'm kind of a goal setter. So when I first started the business, actually, I first got into radio. You know, I set long-term goals and short-term goals for me personally and for the business of what I wanted to do. I wanted to buy my first house. I wanted to make $100,000. I wanted to get married. I wanted to do all those. And I wrote down when I was going to do all these things.
Yep.
And you'd be darn right. It's pretty interesting when you look back going, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
First kid, missed that by 6 months. Wow. Not too bad.
Yeah.
First house, but wow, pretty good. Right. And you're like,
Universe conspires to give you what you ask for.
Yeah.
It's true.
And it was one of those things. So I think it's very important to project. I think you always want to underestimate your revenue and overestimate your expenses because there's always hidden things going around in that regard.
I think that's good.
Those are my top five things that came out
like
the top
those.
Of my head.
I think those were great. And what I liked about that a lot was, so you run a lean machine, and I dig that, and so do
not
I.
Not quite as lean as it needs to be.
Well, there you go.
You know.
I guess somebody's about ready to get fired.
Watch
guess
out,
what?
Folks.
Hello, Mr. Intern. You're back in the
cheap
game.
Labor. Would you work for $9 an hour?
So, no. So,
do you have any skills?
So my take is a little kind of different. I agree with everything that Brett said. My take is a little bit about the concept of your business, the storytelling. Because if the storytelling is mistaken, if you don't know what you're talking about, if you don't know what the hell you do, no one's going to believe you. So I'm going to start with this super important concept, and that is nobody cares what you do. Nobody.
Right.
They only care what you do for them. And the way you get your stuff together is you don't invent because you can. So I see a lot of people who come to me with these ideas, and it's because they came up with an idea.
Right.
But I always ask them this question: what is the problem you solve? And if they can't answer it, they are immediately doomed. I know immediately they've got no chance in hell to actually make this work. So if you're looking at a business, whatever your business is, whether you're, I don't know, making websites, or you're a podcaster, or you're a musician, or you're a sports broadcaster, or whatever you are, nobody cares what you do. They care what you do for them. Figure out the problem you solve. And if you can do that, then you're ready to tell your story. And I promise you, the vast majority of your competitors don't know this. And then the other thing is, when you start telling your story, you start with the problem you solve. Most people do it backwards. They tell me what they do. I'm the number one provider of widgets in Las Vegas, blah, 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 blah. Ugh. What that is, this is the second part when it comes to credibility. Claiming your own credibility is the weakest way to establish it.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the drunk guy at the party syndrome. You tell me how smart you are, I don't believe you. You're at a party, a drunk guy goes, oh yeah, I can do this, and I work with these people, I make this much money, here's my card. You know what drunk guys do? Here's what I do, here's how much money I make, here's all the people I do. But you know what websites do? Here's what we do, here's all the people we work with, here's all that. Websites today are the drunk guy at the party, which is why people only spend about a minute on a website. That's a problem.
Right,
so you have to understand, how do you establish your credibility without claiming it? And that comes back to the problem that you solve. Here's the next thing. When it comes to your offer, what it is that you do, if you think of it as a math equation. So offer equals delivery plus outcome. So offer equals the deliveries, the things that you deliver, plus outcome. What most people focus on, most companies focus on, is the delivery, the things they do. So for example, if you're a realtor, you would say, oh yeah, we want you to list with us because what I'm gonna do is, I'm going to put you on Craigslist and you're going to be on renters.com. You're going to be on this.com, or we're going to make you a website. I'm going to do an open house for you and flyers. Hell, we've got the best flyer maker in the world. Those are all deliveries. Mm-hmm. And I do not care about your deliveries. I care about the outcome. And so the truth of the matter is, the way you should balance that is 90% of your story should be outcome. 10% of your story should be delivery. And that's completely behind or backwards the way everybody thinks. So when I talk about Vegas Video Co-op, or I talk about the Vegas Video Network, or I talk about Podworks, I talk about what happens as a result of working with me. Not you're going to have a video. Not that I have HD video cameras. And that's not what people care about.
Right.
What they care about is what happens as a result. I'm going to help establish your credibility. I'm going to help you do things that, you know, really help you out. So
I'm going to make you bankrupt.
Yeah, well, that's really what I meant to do. Thanks, Brett.
I'm just
good guy.
Decent.
By the way, we've got our new co-host.
There he is. You know, the other thing is, you know, from a business owner standpoint, you're talking with employees, is you never confuse activity with achievement.
Yeah.
Especially in a sales organization. That's one of our favorite lines. I have a big sales board in the office. I know you've seen it before, which has all of the numbers. And when somebody comes in and give me their sob story, I just kind of point to the board. Look, there's your sob story. We all have issues. We all have stuff. You're telling me, and you know my history, you're telling me about why you couldn't do such a thing. Really? Because your battery died on your car? Really? Okay. Let's go to chemo for the next 100 days together.
Right.
Let's see how we're fucking doing. All right? Give me a break.
Right.
We can overcome. And that's the, you know, I was talking to this kid today, he's from Chicago, and same thing, the work ethic here in Las Vegas is significantly different than it is in the Midwest.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, the East Coast is very hustle bustle. The West Coast, LA, is very laid back. Let's have lunch.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you next Tuesday.
Well, the Bay Area.
Okay. The Bay Area is probably
hustling.
They're hustling.
It's hustle.
But in Vegas, it's incompetent.
Yeah.
It's, I'll do that for you. Sure.
Maybe.
And then it's like, well, you told me Tuesday.
Yeah.
I didn't say which Tuesday.
Yeah, right.
And you're like, dude, it's 3 weeks ago. Yeah. What are we doing? Yeah. What's taking so long? And you know, I'll give you an example. I'm working on a project yesterday with a client who for some reason wasn't getting his invoicing. Okay. But he got his June bill, hadn't gotten his May or his April bill. So I sent an email saying, hey, dude, I need to get a check from you, basically. And he goes, hey, I didn't get the April and May invoice. I've got June. And I'm thinking, I didn't change the address. How did you get June and not get April and May?
Right.
And I'm like, all right, I tell you what, scan over and send me what you did receive and I'll fill in the blanks. So he had his assistant scan it, send it over to me. And an hour later, I filled in the blanks and gave it back to him.
Right.
Well, the next question is, when can I expect a check?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And from the standpoint of, I don't want to sit on this. He owes me money.
Right.
And he's looking for information from me, so he's looking for me to have a fast turnaround. And it's a big casino in town. I don't want to mess with that relationship.
Right.
So I'm more like kind of chasing the money.
You're not like me. I don't need
you. But at the same time, I don't like having accounts receivable.
Right.
I'm sure you don't either. Who does?
I have a real issue.
And in Vegas, on accounts receivable.
Especially.
Up front. Cash up front.
Yeah.
Or credit card.
Yeah,
oh, approved. Thank you. We're good to go. That kind of thing. So, I mean, it literally, as soon as he got me the information, I filled in the blanks and he had his information back. If it was the other way around and somebody's looking for me to give him information, I might take 3 weeks to go, I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I was out of town.
Really? You like that?
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty good at paying people. I'm like, I want to be treated as like I want to be treated.
Right.
Let me give you one more. I'm going to give you one more storytelling advice and then a couple other things that are more specific to Las Vegas, I think. And the other one is this. A lot of people take a lot of time thinking about how do I position my story? It used to be a sales training thought where you would look at who your prospect is and you would mirror them. So if they are gregarious, you're gregarious. If they're quiet. And guess what? If you're that good of an actor, you'd be an actor. So instead, there's really only two things that motivate people, and it's the way for everybody. You don't have to wonder who they are or what they care about. We call them gold medals and German shepherds in my world. And so gold medals are people have a need to improve themselves, go to the better place. And German shepherds are people have a need to stop pain or fear. That's it. Mm-hmm. So if you take all your things that you can do and then attach a gold medal and a German shepherd to each one of them, you've now doubled the reasons why people buy from you, which is huge. And you know that they'll like either one of them too. And sometimes people like a little bit of both. So now you've increased the probability of engagement. And that's ultimately what you're trying to do, because you must recognize, I don't care what business you're in, you are in sales. Everybody's in sales.
Absolutely.
You must be comfortable with closing business. And that means you've got to position people that you increase the probability where they want to say yes to you, right? So a couple of things about Las Vegas. Las Vegas is an incredibly small town. Mm-hmm. It's 2 million people here, 2.1, whatever it is. Man, it feels like there's about 50,000 people here.
Well, when you think about, let's say a third of the population is under 18, a third of the population is over 70. So now you got a third of the population that's probably in the business community working.
Yeah.
And out of that third, how many people are actually in charge?
Yeah.
And it gets smaller and smaller. You think about a casino, you're like, there's vice presidents to this, that, and the other thing. But at the same time, there's really... The funnel is very, very narrow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Of where decisions get made.
And I'm telling you this because networking actually is useful here in Las Vegas, because you're likely to bump into people in multiple places. That also tells you that you should be cautious of pissing people off. This, by the way, is advice that I have not taken.
As recently as last week.
Fuck them.
I almost did it this week.
I tell you, I sleep at night like a baby, which means I shit myself. And No, that's not true anymore. I got the pins. But networking does matter here. The other thing is this. Don't bullshit. There are so many people here who are just telling stories way above their pay grade. The line is they are all hat, no cattle. And so they're talking like this, they're big time. I'm a CEO. I'm living the CEO life. 5 minutes later, you see him post, I just took a job. Really?
Yeah.
Is that the CEO?
I can't tell you how many resumes I've seen where people are like, I'm the CEO of like 18 different businesses. I go, really? You're applying for an entry-level sales job.
Right. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm a CEO of my company. And you know what? My company was profitable in one fucking month. Right. I've been profitable since 2006. I'm a fucking CEO.
Right.
It's a small company, but I'm a CEO. But if you come into me and say, I'm a CEO, I'm like, really? What's your business doing? How you doing? Are you making any money? Well, not really. Okay, well, you've been doing it for a while? Been thinking about it for a couple of years.
Been thinking about it.
You're a hobbyist, man. Right. You're a goddamn hobbyist. So don't, and I'm not saying this to be a kind of pissing on your parade. I'm saying is that if you talk to somebody who is in business, who can make things happen for you, we're going to look at you like you're kidding yourself.
Right.
And I'm not going to waste my time with it. I used to waste my time with it.
It's hard to differentiate it. I mean, because you're the CEO when you wake up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, in a cold sweat, going, "Oh my God, how am I going to do that?"
Yeah.
Or you're in the shower going, "Oh my God, how am I going to accomplish this?"
Yeah.
This season, like, a perfect example. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we had a lease for a bunch of office equipment, and the lease was coming due.
Right.
And I had to get all these machines carted up and shipped across the country. And I've never done that before. So who do I call? I don't want to call the company that I'm ending my lease with because they're mad at me because I'm ending my lease with them. Not that we owe them money, it's paid for.
Right.
So I call somebody else who used to work for me, who now works for a different company in the copy machine industry.
Right.
And I go, who do you call when you need to get stuff shipped? Big copy machines. You've seen those machines.
Right.
And he goes, I don't know. Let me find out for you. So he makes a phone call. He gets me a name and a number. I call the lady. I never heard of the business before. She goes, here's how much it costs. They'll come pick it up tomorrow. And they'll inventory it. They'll wrap it. They'll ship it. They'll take it apart. They'll do everything.
Right.
It's got to go to Syracuse, New York for summer. Here's the funny thing. Here's the copy machine industry is the greatest scam industry in the history of the world, by the way. It's like you sending a check to Chevy every time you drive 100 miles in your car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
when it's already paid for.
Right.
I'm already paying for the oil. I'm getting myself tires. I'm getting my window. Yeah, well, you drove across to California. Send me $100. I mean, that's what it's like a cop machine is. Okay. Yeah. So it cracks me up. So if you're on the West Coast and you get stuff from this particular company, you have to ship it at the end of your lease to the East Coast.
Yeah.
And if you're on the East Coast, guess where you have to ship your stuff to?
West Coast.
Los Angeles.
Of course you do.
Okay. So me shipping this stuff to LA would have been like $1,200.
Right.
If instead I got to go to Syracuse and it's like $3,000 to go across the country to do this. So that was like a big hairy thing because there's a deadline going, okay, I got to get this stuff back to them by July 15th.
Right.
And if I don't, they're going to charge me for another month worth of usage.
All right. Last one. And actually, there's a question on the chat I do want to address. But first, finally, don't skimp on your customer-facing efforts. You are being judged on this. So, for example, if your business has a Yahoo email,
right,
or a Gmail email,
right, right,
I will not take you seriously.
That's a good point.
I have told this to probably a dozen people over the course of the last 2 years who are starting new business, and they're like, yeah, we do this at yahoo.com. Click, the fuck you do. If you really did, you would have a website with your own email address. So don't skimp. And then a website. Now, I used to be in the business of website design, so I'm a little bit biased. And I still design websites for specific co-op customers because they need websites to put their video on there. I have seen a few people, Brett and I have talked about a recent one, where they're claiming to be big things, and they're using a very simple template-based website, and it looks like a ransom note. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to take you seriously if it looks like crap. This is your capital discussion. You have to have the capital. Either you can do it. I use my own capital. I could design my own website. I could do the programming. So it was my time, but I spent hours and hours doing that, you know, along with whatever else I was doing. But look at good. If you're going to do video, I'm in the video business, of course, but this is a best foot forward. Amateur videos are no longer charming. It's, you know, it makes you look like you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Well, there's a great, for example, like a small company, you can't have a secretary, you can't have a sales department, you don't have a marketing department, you don't have a group sales department, but you go to a place like phone.com and they give you all the lines and you create the infrastructure.
That's
even
right.
Though when they push the button 5 to get the group sales department, it rings your cell phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, group sales, how are you?
But also,
you
know, that could be to your advantage to manage your time.
Right.
Maybe you don't. Maybe it goes to voicemail. And simple things. Right. Business cards. How many times have you had somebody show you business cards that they fucking printed right there?
Right.
And it was on, you know, crap paper.
Exactly.
I am judging you on the seriousness of your efforts. That's what I'm saying. Finally, before we take a break, Sure Shot Web, Rob asked, so how do you collect from deadbeats without pissing off the wrong person? I'm going to tell you a story that I just got last week from a good friend of mine. And he's a sales trainer and had a very large company, big company. And they were stiffing him, basically. And they're canceling this, and he was invoicing, and they're like, oh, nothing was happening. We're not really interested anymore. Hey, but you still owe me this money. And nothing was happening. And so eventually he sent an email to the president and just said, hey, look, I'm just going to tell you this. I've really tried hard on this, and I bet you it would be easier for me to simply create a website that says yourcompanydoesn'tpay.com and put that stuff on there. And I'm pretty good at getting that website on Google's first page than trying to get you guys to pay me over the last 3 months. The next week he got paid. Same thing happened to me.
Great idea.
Same thing happened to me. When we first moved here, we hired a guy to landscape our backyard. We gave him an $1,800 deposit. He thought that was a gift and disappeared. So I did some research, found out that this guy's website had expired. I took it. And I then did some research on him, found him all kinds of problems with all kinds of places. I put all those problems up there. You know, Yelpy kind of things, people where he was being sued by other folks. I got a knock on the door a week later. It was his dad. His dad had a check for $1,800. Hey, would you mind taking down that website? Absolutely. That's how you do it.
Right. Well, there's, you know, the other thing is, if you're traditional, you have a contract.
Yeah.
And you hold them to their contract.
Well,
and you take them to court. If he doesn't get to that far, it's a letter from your attorney. And you know what? You don't necessarily have to have a high-priced attorney to write a letter for you. Might cost you $50. I mean, check into Legal Shield.
I'm a believer in that, by the way.
And let them write the letter for you. Legal Shield is very inexpensive for your business if you want to have that. Or, you know, for me, I happen to have a partner who is an attorney.
Yeah.
So so-and-so didn't... whatever. I'll send him a letter.
Well, I sued a guy for not paying me, when I was due before the co-op. He owed me $7,500. I sued him in small claims. He defaulted. I won. I didn't get paid. Because he was actually a professional con man, come to find out. And if you go to rickthecon.com, which I created, that's about this guy. He doesn't get a lot of work anymore because of that website. Mm-hmm. But so I'm a big believer in saying, I will sue you. I believe that you should. I think, like, especially musicians who are getting screwed here all the time, sue them. Sue. $7,500 small claims. It's not that hard. I actually had somebody else do it. I think I paid him a couple hundred dollars to do all the filing and stuff. But you have to stand up for your rights. That is the thing.
Usually,
it happens a lot here, by the way. Yeah. People who don't pay.
Usually, if you get a letter from an attorney, it pretty much ends pretty quick. Yeah, it does. It works. It works a lot.
So that's it. I hope that was helpful for you guys. We're both clearly passionate about, you know, doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. And God, one of the best things that I do in my job is work with people who are just starting their idea. Mm-hmm. Like I'm working. A new co-op member is they started a new skincare line, and it's super fun helping these guys craft their story and create these videos because they're excited and they really believe in their stuff and they're willing to spend the money to put the content out there. So it's pretty cool. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back with live chat questions. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network.
Few things are as precious as your eyes. They capture a world in motion and a lifetime of moments. Choosing the right doctor for LASIK means understanding there really is a difference. Dr. Richard Rothman and LASIK of Nevada believe that safety, affordability, and the latest technology are important. Call today and get 50% off premium LASIK and $99 a month guaranteed financing. Helping people achieve their best vision on a personal level is the difference at LASIK of Nevada. Call or click 800-NEW-VISION for premium LASIK at the best price.
Okay, we're back. We've lost Brett. Brett's given up hope. Bye, Brett. See you later.
I thought we had 3 minutes.
I think he had to pee. Maybe you take that fan and put it by the door and turn it up.
Turn it up.
I mean, move it with the chair.
Yes, sir. Maybe our intern could do this.
Yeah. Fuck, man. So hard to get good help. There you go. Okay. Welcome back, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Now it's time for our live chat questions. But before I do that, I want to share with you a little place that I went to last week or two. We talked about it, actually. Welcome back, Brett.
Did you miss me?
It's too loud.
You told me to turn it up.
Put it one down lower. Could you do that? Thank you. I can hear it. It's making me crazy.
Woo! Look at that. It's like a whoo. Like I got out of the sauna. Okay. I'm going headphone free. I can't really, can I? Darn it.
Not really.
You got these headphones.
Hey, I'm wearing the same headphones.
Well, we need to get some with a little smaller ears. Just a little smaller.
You know what you can wear?
Earbuds. They're very good quality. Earbuds. Don't get me wrong.
Or just bring earbuds.
Oh, look at that. No, see, that's, oh, wow.
Look, all right. I'm sorry. What did you say, Edgar?
I'll take over the job and won't complain.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Hey,
working with him, I promise you'll complain. All right.
Oh, man, this is a rough room. Anyway, so a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to check out a little place called Lago. This may sound familiar to you, those of you who do the Have a Drink on Me. We may be coming back to this property in a moment. But I just wanted to say a quick review. Go there. Thank you. Best view of the water, the fountains, probably at a restaurant anywhere. Mm-hmm. And here's the other good thing. Happy people are there, clearly.
People. And Jackie's two-fisting it over there.
She is. She made that her profile picture. God bless her. And here's the other thing that I like about it. So it's an Italian restaurant, but it's a small plate Italian restaurant. So it's kind of that sharing little small plates. And it ended up not being very expensive. This is at the Bellagio on the fountain. And I don't know what we got out of there with, but we all looked at it like as we guessed. Was Scotch and his catching buzz, right?
Okay. Good one, Danny.
Danny, I've missed you. So what was funny is we all played the guessing game, what's it going to cost at the end, and everybody guessed high.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing to have, right?
That's good to know.
So strongly recommend Lago. It's pretty cool. All right. First question from Mike Q. Are there any inside lanes or HOV lanes within the Las Vegas area? Do you know, Brett?
Yes. 95 has an HOV overpass onto Summerlin Parkway. Yep. And they have it. It goes down to about Valley View on the west side of town from about the Rainbow Curve down to Valley View. And even on the Summerlin Parkway, there is also on the 15 to about Russell Road. from about just north of downtown, maybe at downtown, to about Russell Road, where you can be in the express lanes. Not really an HOV lane. It's two lanes that are going fast,
yep.
but it's not like it's not like it's set up in California, where it's double lined and right. you're not supposed to go in
it's
and
not
out.
Not quite the same.
It's not quite the same.
But there are they basically if you've got two or more people in this lane.
Yeah.
So and that's new actually. They didn't have that when I first moved here.
No, that is relatively new. I'd say the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's right.
Part of the renovation.
Yeah.
And the other thing is it doesn't last very long. It's only during rush hour
yep.
morning and afternoon.
Which is similar.
So at 11 o'clock in the morning, anybody can be in the HOV lane.
Yeah.
Which if I'm driving myself, I'm in there all the time.
That was a very impressive response. I would have just said yes.
Well, I wanted to be detailed.
Yeah, it's very good. No.
I live in Las Vegas. I know what's happening.
You do. And then this next one's from Delts. Delts is a first-time live chatter.
Yay. Welcome, Delts. Welcome. He's been listening to the show
for a couple
ages,
years.
Longer than I have. A
couple years. Well, that would require him to listen to it for the last 3 weeks, because I don't think you listen to these shows after you do them.
No, I do. I listen almost every night when I go home after the show.
You
I do. I listen
even,
back to it.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yeah. All right.
Delt wants to know.
Okay.
Delt wants to know. Scott, are there any neighborhoods that you recommend between $200,000 and $400,000 for a new Las Vegas movers? Yeah.
Well, there's lots of them. First
yeah,
of all,
for, I mean, but you, if you're at 200 to 400,000, my
a
brother,
huge range.
You are in the sweet spot of yeah. this place. I think now, don't hold me to this. I bet you Ted could find out for me real quick. I think the average selling house now is
it's like 149.
No. It's like 220.
No, I don't think it's that high.
I think it's 220.
It's gone up.
It's gone up quite a bit.
Well, I think the better question for Delt would be, what part of town do you want to live in?
Yeah, where do you want to work?
Where are you working?
That's the question.
And how far of a commute do you want to have? Right. So for me personally, as a salesperson primarily, I don't want to have a long commute to the office.
210.
Okay. Two.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so he's in the 117. Oh, that's somebody else.
Oh, 89117. That's a pretty sexy little place.
That's my zip code.
I know a couple of people who
are you in that zip code,
let's
too?
Let's not talk about it.
Are you in the 117?
Let's not talk about it.
Are you in the 117? He's in the 117.
Okay. Way to go. Now I got to fucking move. Well done.
You got to move again. Back to the...
I'm super fancy.
Back to the 14375.
So I used to live in Aliante, and everybody used to... I mean, I got teased that it was basically South Reno.
Right.
And just so you know, Aliante is all of about 13 miles from the Strip. It's 13 miles.
It does seem like it's like...
But people are like, holy shit.
Like you live in Palmdale?
I'm afraid to drive there because if the car breaks down, we might die.
Yeah,
you're going to die on the freeway. What do you people are high?
Yeah.
No, but actually...
It's funny because it's like I live in L.A. What's Rancho Cucamonga?
Well, you're not in L.A.
Right? So it's...
So, but here's what happened. The reason why we moved is because we lived at... So if you look at Las Vegas Valley as a clock, Aliante is at 12 o'clock. Melissa worked at 6 o'clock, and you can't go straight down there. You have to go around. So she goes around the clock. Took her 40 minutes.
Yeah.
A 40-minute commute's a long commute. In LA, 40 minutes is a long commute. It's a normal commute, but it's still long. So she's doing 40 minutes both ways. That's, 80 minutes. That's a hassle. That's a problem. So Brett's got it right, Tuck. Delts, wherever you're going to work will help dictate you should live.
There's great neighborhoods all over the place. So if you're, for example, on the west side of town, you can find houses in that range in Summerlin, all over the place. The lakes, Pacoli Ranch, all those areas.
Yep.
You might not be able to get into Section 10 and some of the nicer,
well, you won't get
older
the
neighborhoods
10.
For that. But you never know what's going to pop up. I mean, if you're down in Green Valley, you could be in Green Valley.
You could be in those
kind of areas.
Yeah, and a lot of people really like Henderson. I'm not a real big fan of that area. We call it Hender-Tucky.
Right. There's some new areas down there, like Tuscany and that area. It's far to get places, but a friend of mine just moved there. I go, why the hell are you moving down there?
Yeah.
He goes,
it's cheap.
It's closer to my wife's friends.
There you go.
All right. I mean, another new place south, like Mountain's Edge.
Mountain's Edge is huge.
Is huge.
A lot of people.
Vistas, places like that.
One of our listeners, Christina, lives there.
Providence.
And she loves Mountain's Edge. I mean, it's one of those neighborhoods that used to be the neighborhoods in the 60s where they all know each other. They have block parties all the time. And, a bunch of kids running around.
Right.
I mean, I haven't had that since I've lived here. But she's got it down there in Mountain's Edge. So you've got a really, if you're at the 200 to 400,000 range, brother, you've got a nice little setup going.
I'm suddenly the most popular guy in the entire neighborhood.
You are.
Because I have a new dog. I mean, I can't tell you how many girls have like stopped by at like 6:30 in the morning as I'm out walking the dog. I didn't realize I was this popular. Look at that hot little jogger over there. Oh, look at your puppy. He's so cute.
And to that, I toast you.
Have a drink on me.
Have a drink on me.
That's right. All right, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. This is the part of the show where I show you where I drink, and if you can guess where it is, well, many things can happen for you. Are you ready, Brett?
I'm ready.
Stand by and see if I want this music. Wait, hold on. Nope, that's not the music I want. Hold on.
I thought it was.
No, hold on. Wait, I think I will. Let's do that one. That's fine.
I don't have the prizes.
No, I hold the prizes. You do the voiceover.
Oh, that's right. Okay, good.
Talking to a new guy.
I thought I did it all.
And here's what... Hold on. No, we'll do this one. Yeah, we'll do that one. Here's... Ready? What you win.
And here's what you can win today on the Haddam, the beautiful Vegas Video Network visor. Coming in new colors, including red and khaki. Wow. Or black. How about Scott's original music, Gajazzathon? It'll put you to sleep in just about 12 seconds.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Either that or you'll prematurely ejaculate. Do Gajazzathon.
Put it on back. You're such a douchebag. Yeah, go ahead. Look at the intern, you dick.
Oh, that's funny.
Or
I have to play out to the audience. Where is our beer or a drink on Scott? I thought we were doing arches at Whitney Villa shot glasses.
Taking those out. Only special
people. Of course, you can always have a drink on Scott.
That's it.
There you go.
That's right. Thank you, Brett. You're never going to be allowed to do that again. I tried to make you a part of the show, and instead you crushed
me. The live chat loved that. Okay, they loved it.
That's
roll on the floor, MAP. What does MAP mean?
You are a mother
laughing map.
Pooper
roll
stuffer.
On floor laughing map. Danny,
now, we've changed the rules a little bit here.
We change them every week.
We're a constantly moving deal. So, of course, the first rule that we've done for a while now is if you're in the live chat during this segment and you have a correct answer, we double. That's right. Double your entries if you've got a correct answer. But we have a new one now. And that is, if you prove to me that you have somehow engaged Gajazzathon in the wild, either through a video thing or a picture, also we'll double your entries whether you're in the live chat or not. That's what we're here for. People
absolutely
love that new deal.
I'm going to have to do a lot of writing, it sounds like.
Maybe. We'll see. Okay, so for this one, this was actually a hard
Pop
one.
Pop says he thought it was triple.
Pops drinks too much.
Okay.
So here's what's happening. This was a hard one. For the longest time, we only had like six.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, oh, well, this is a good one. No one's going to get this one. We eventually got 14.
Okay.
11 of which were correct.
Oh, we had three people who tried but did not win.
Yes. Two of them for wrong answers. One because they were...
That's a funny one, Rob.
Which one? What do you say?
Rob.
Gajazzathon does whiten your teeth. Make sure whites whiter and your bright brighter.
He didn't spell Gajazzathon.
What do you say? both you people. So Rob can't play now because I banned him. All right. So first of all, let's take a look at last week's Have a Drink
on
me.
Scott.
Oh, actually, I'm going to go ahead and put this up too. Hold on, standby. This is, here's where you go. Where do you send your content to?
I have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. That's have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Okay. And remember, you can win Gajazzathon.
Gajazzathon.
Now, the gods. Here's what it looks like if you get one of these visors. We've got new visors.
That's
boom!
Awesome. Who's that?
Sammy!
Hey, Sammy. Hey, Sammy.
Sammy. This is the group of gods.
You look marvelous.
Sammy. Hey!
Hey, you need one with the fake blonde highlighted hair, like the wig.
Okay, there's Jackie, there's Christina. I'm taking him out because he doesn't listen to my show anymore.
He does. He listens every week.
It's on. There's Pippin Rain. There's Mikey, Danny. Ah, jeez, I keep forgetting. Michael. Oh, awesome. And I don't know who that guy is. We're going to have to let him go. All right. Here was last week's Have a Drink on Me. Stand by. Here it is. The clues were, it's a brand new bar. It's connected to a new restaurant. It's one of the, if not the best views in the fountain. We just talked about it. It's a James Beard award-winning place. This is Lago, everybody.
It's Lago?
Lago.
You ruined our ending. It's usually, and the clues were, it's Lago.
It's Lago. Yeah, sometimes I just, okay. So here we go. Let's get them in there. Here we go. Ready for the live chat, people. Live
All
chat.
Right, here we go.
Eric, Airport Limbo. Airport Limbo. Let's see if he's in there. I think he is.
That's
oh, wait,
Eric.
He's not in there.
Eric Hansen's not there?
Eric is usually in there, but I don't see Eric.
Oh, okay. All right.
Airport limbo. Oh, I'm sorry, Eric. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Eric's in there. Okay. Ken Anderson. We know Ken's in there.
Yep, we know Ken's there. Ken loves us.
Get Ken in there.
All right. I put in Ken with two E's.
Two N's.
I mean, two N's.
All right, whatever.
Whatever.
We call him Keen. he's Keen.
There's a TV station in town called
there
Keen.
There is.
Keen TV.
I'm talking to those guys.
Is that 17 or 25?
It's 25.
All right. It used to be 17.
Monica Fagan? No, actually, it's not. It's 48. She's not in there. Rob Cole, who is in there, Short Shot Web. So we're going to put old Rob in there. Way to go, Robbie.
Okay.
Wait, oh, Monica's in there. Wait, Monica Fagan here, no work today. Monica's in there. Put Monica in there.
Monica Butter Fagan here, no work today.
Okay.
That's funny.
All right, so Monica goes in. Way to go, Monica. I just skipped over you because Monica has been playing this game for, I don't know, a year or two or 20.
I've never seen the Binky
And all
51
she does,
before.
She doesn't say anything. She's like, Lago. Barrymore. Okay. She's just, I just want the fucking game to play. I want to chit chat. You know,
well, now she's got a chance to be a part
now
of the
she's
show.
In. I think that's
welcome,
pretty cool.
Monica.
All right,
welcome.
Steve I, the wise guy. We know Steve's in the live chat. God bless his little heart.
Okay.
How long do you have to sit out to win? Well, I'm going to answer that in 2 seconds, Danny. And then Brian Forever. Leach, who's from San Jose, and I believe Brian is in the live chat. I think I saw him in there. Stand by. He's the one that had a like a heart attack a couple weeks ago.
From our show, we caused a heart attack?
Brian, I think that's in there, Brian. So, did you say Brian? You got that in there? Yeah, he's in there.
Okay. I put him in there.
Okay. Next up. This is Sammy from Wisconsin, not our Sammy. He goes, he asked a question, does Brett do a live sports show from a casino?
Yes.
What is the casino?
The Palazzo.
When does that show happen?
Tuesdays at 5 p.m.
And when does that begin again, if you're taking a break?
It's going to begin again, I think, next week or the week after.
And because he's coming in September and he wants to watch.
We should be there.
Okay.
We should be there.
So way to go, Sammy from Wisconsin. By the way, Sammy, if you're listening, which clearly you are, your email says Chris Spindler.
Okay.
So I wrote Chris and he wrote, hey, Sammy from Wisconsin. I'm like, so did you kidnap Chris? is this poor guy like in a dungeon somewhere going, I want to win too. So,
Rob didn't like my plug for the TV for the radio show.
What a plug!
Right. Yeah.
So he's back. It was off.
Yeah. Right. We're on vacation.
So okay, here we go.
And is that it?
We got more. All right, Carol has a.
Oh,
Carol, a printed one. Carol has to say.
Carol from the UK. She's getting ready for the Open Championship at St. Andrews.
Yes.
Starting tomorrow.
Go.
That'll be good because when the puppy wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can watch golf.
You should watch Wimbledon.
All right. Hi, Scott and Brett. Can I just say how much Brett was missed last week?
It was 2 weeks ago, actually.
Thank you, Carol. Well, she wrote this a week ago.
What's funny about that is that he was here last week, but we missed him then. He was sitting there, but fuck, you wouldn't really know. That's not right.
He is the perfect co-host and love the way you both have such a good rapport and make the best show on TV. Keep up the good work of entertaining us all. I'd also like to say a big hello to the lovely Whitney Villa ladies,
yay!
Melissa and Jackpot.
There we go. All right, way to go.
Jackpot Jackie. Were you just picking my schnoz? Is that what you were
doing?
I was
picking your schnoz.
Yeah,
okay, Gene the dancing machine.
Gene the mean
Gene's,
machine.
Gene's in the live chat. Let me go ahead and read this. Don't write anything yet. Stand
okay,
by.
Right. Oh, is I supposed to put her in the thing?
No. Carol? She's only got a single. Gene writes, Gene wrote, War and Peace. Good God,
that's
Gene.
That's a good size.
Okay, here we go. Okay, Scott, you made this week's Haddam much harder due to the original photo. The James Beard Award clue led me down the wrong path a bit. This week is Lago, but G was really hard to find. You said that we didn't learn a thing from our last show. Sometimes I'm a little hard on our listeners and our viewers. I apologize. That's not right. But those of us who were paying attention learned the following. One, flying booming personal fireworks are not legal in Vegas, but are available in Pahrump. So they can be expected to have the usual problems during baseball. Well, that's
and Moapa.
We did say that very well.
We did say
number two, you are left-handed, as am I, and suffer the same cell phone camera issues that lefties do. Do you play guitar left-handed? I do not. I play it right-handed. I play drums right-handed as well. But
does
I
your
can
guitar
bat.
Gently weep?
It does only when you pick it up.
Okay, yeah, that's for sure. That's right? Not gentle.
That was good. What's it mean? Exactly. Number three, there are at least two different indoor flea markets. No, there's not. There's one indoor and one outdoor. Okay. And number four, you love that shit. And you thought, blah, blah, we weren't paying attention. Pops, very good. Here's the problem. Pops won last week.
Well, that was Pops.
And as a result, you are not eligible.
Oh.
So I'm sorry, Pops.
Wow.
But God bless you for getting into the game. But once you win once, you got to take a break. Let's not be a Bogart. Let's not take everybody's fun, okay? All right. Number, here's a big one. Our first video entry. Stand by.
Ooh, a video entry.
Where did I put you, you little bastard? There it is. Okay. So.
From?
Erin Perry, a woman.
Erin Perry. She's from Prescott, Arizona.
Prescott.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
I'm Brett. The bar this week is Lago at the Bellagio. Al put together a video to prove that we listen to your music while enjoying an adult beverage. The drink of the day is Knob Creek, very good scotch. We are sitting in front of our backyard water feature. You can also see our outdoor kitchen known as Al's Bar and Grill.
And let's take the video, shall we?
Come on, pick us. Let's watch the video.
From Prescott, Arizona.
Oh, very nice. Very tranquil.
It's the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to Al's Bar and Grill. That's us, and they're in the backyard watching us while dining.
Erin Perry, you know Erin Perry first, all right? Hi, Scott. Alan tells me that this week's Adam is the Barrymore. I wanted you to know that we frequently listen to your music as we are enjoying our yard in the evenings with an adult beverage. Shouldn't this qualify us for an extra chance to get our name picked? Don't blame me for trying. Erin Perry from Prescott, Arizona.
She made this happen. Everybody should thank Erin.
I would say this. I think squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Well, there's no question about that. And you know, Erin and her husband, Alan, are working together as a team. Or tag team. I appreciate that. So they're basically doubling already. The question is, should I think what I'll do is this. If with your Haddam entry, you show a picture of you listening to one of my CDs.
You'd almost need a video with the music going.
I don't want to get too rough.
Well, hey, Danny can send you upside down videos. I'm sure I can figure it out.
That's what worries me. I don't want another fucking upside down video. So you send a picture with like the Gajazzathon CD or like you have Gajazzathon on iTunes or you have it on Spotify. You know what? I'm doubling your entries.
Boom, everybody.
Oh, there's Alan and Erin.
There's Alan and Erin.
A handsome couple.
Isn't that nice?
Very nice of them.
They are the reason why this happened.
Right, that
so
that video, I will say, was I know she put the rules in there. Just a little long. I'm just saying.
Oh.
It was very well done.
This is coming from RQS. Do you know why you're called that?
Hey, we are a very tight schedule,
Scott.
Exactly.
Have you understood why we call you that? It's ironic.
I'm sitting right here in
ironical.
The co-pilot seat.
Okay, the next one is from Christina V. Christina is also in law, and she will be getting a double as well. Here's why.
You have another one?
Yep.
Who from?
This is from Christina V.
Right.
There's one in there.
Let's see how long hers is.
It's just a picture.
There you go.
And what this is, I'm not sure if you could tell what this is, but there's Gajazzathon on her iPhone. And that green thing is a little speaker.
It's a speaker, yeah.
It's sitting on top of her pregnant belly.
Oh, my gosh.
And she writes.
Oh, my God, she writes, I'm naked and I'm listening to Gajazzathon.
Who doesn't? Really?
She got, see, I what I said earlier in the show worked.
Naked works.
No, Gajazzathon. It worked.
Oh, shut up.
But I love so much, I downloaded it on iTunes so I could share it with Baby Incredible. As you can see in the photo, I'm using some belly buds to play it for him. This week's Adams, by the way, is Lago at the Bellagio.
There
very
it is.
Good, Christina.
So
I like
she
that.
Got a double on that.
Yes, indeed.
And then Alan Perry, who AP. Also wrote, Alan's got, she, he already got, no, he doesn't get two doubles. He just gets one double.
Well, I didn't give him two. I gave one to
one for
wife.
Erin. Well, they don't both get doubles.
Okay. You said he said, okay. He yep. said, oh, he sent an email.
He just sent an email.
Okay.
Which is long as hell. Let me see if I want to read all this.
Apparently, they're They've got time on their hands in Prescott, Arizona.
This actually basically explains that his wife is going to win because they're doing that. It's very long. We're running out of time. But thank you, Alan. Okay, let's do it.
Shake them up, baby.
Stir it up, baby.
Shake them up, baby.
Stir it up.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, little right. darling.
I'm still waiting for my free copy of Gejazzathon.
I'll give you a free copy. All right. Actually, no, I'm
not. I can just download it on iTunes.
That
for free, right? Or is it 99 cents?
iTunes is 99 cents a song, or I don't know what it is for. But I was going to give you one, but you've made fun of it. By the way, you're not the first person to call it Gejazzathon, by the way.
Okay, I thought maybe I was. This one was stuck to my hand. And this is...
What is it?
This is your writing. It wasn't me. So this is the original vote, Christina V.
There it is.
Because it's not my writing.
But she had double the opportunity. Yep.
She sent us a nice picture. So congratulations to
Christina.
Good luck with Baby Incredible.
Yeah, that's very good. Christina, you're going to win either. She already has one of these, as a matter of fact.
Well, one for the baby.
One for the baby. You're going to get this. Probably
she already got Gejazzathon. I think she needs Crisp Acoustic. One or two.
Yeah, get one of these. These are really nice Christmas CDs, by the way.
Holidays are not far away.
I'll
we're
buy
90
a drink
days.
Right now. Buy a drink. Just, you know, little fetal
like 90 days away from the middle of October. Just think about it. Halloween is like... 100 days away.
Here we go. Let's get ready for the next. Ooh, I almost gave the wrong one. The next. Have a drink on me. Here it is.
Oh, wow. That's a special little place.
Okay, here we go. Hit number one. It has a 1,700-gallon aquarium in this particular bar.
Wow.
1,700-gallon aquarium. Hit number two. Apparently, the menfolk with which this bar is named have the babies.
Okay.
Hmm? Apparently, the menfolk from which this bar is named have the babies. And number three, its casino could be considered palatial.
Oh.
The casino could be considered palatial. If you know the name, send it to, have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Again, have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. All right, I think we're done.
We're not going to do our listener email?
Nah, we'll do that one next week.
All right.
We'll do it next week. All right. Time to end the show.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Thanks. I want to say
thanks
to our intern.
How long should you stay in a sauna?
There's the intern.
He's drinking. He's already drinking.
Drinking a beer.
You've driven him to drink.
Well, he's gonna fit right in, isn't he?
Exactly.
He'll be perfect for the company. All right. Thanks again, everybody, for checking us out. Hey, if you want to send us an email to have your questions answered, if we don't even know, we'll make them up. Send that email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do that. It's simple. All you got to do is go to our homepage and then click the little red tab on the right side, and then you'll be able to leave a voicemail from the magic of your computer. You can check us out on iTunes, and if you do, leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends, tell your family. If you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, share it with other people. We're also on Roku, over 31,000 downloads of our channel. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromin, Chromecast, Apple TV, Google TV, Fire TV, Vegas Video Network, Facebook, and the Twitter. I'm Scott. That's Brett.
Adios,
thanks,
folks.
Everybody, for playing along. You are the greatest people in the whole world. We'll see you guys next week. Take care. Thank you.